Good morning. I was unaware that that was my cue to get up here. You know, I have to admit that I don't put much thought into Memorial Day, but once it was brought up, two people other than my dad came to mind. My dad was in World War II, but for the Canadian Army. And he just seemed to be one step behind D-Day, or one step behind Market Garden. So he was in the fighting, but not on the first day. So I'm very grateful for that, or you and I would not have met. But the two people that came to mind, and the reason that I bring it up is because today on Memorial Day, you know, we're remembering people who have fallen in service to the country, and usually when we think of that, we think about the guys and now the women who were actually bearing arms in defense of our country. I don't want us to forget the non-armed combatants, if you will, that have served in our military that have also been killed. Our prayer chaplains, our chaplains that were there with everyone who serves. And I called to mind immediately when I was sitting here two people who just came to mind. And the first one was a young woman named Emily, who was 19 years old when she was killed during the Civil War. We don't know her last name. We know that she had to pass as a man to be a drummer and was at most of the major battles during the Civil War. And she finally took a mini ball and died, and was only upon removing her remains from the field that they discovered that he was not a he. In my community, the LGBTQ community, we used to call them, I don't know what they do now because I'm getting old, women passing. The second person that I thought about, and honestly, this is just kind of off the top of my head, was a young man, about 21, 22 years old, whose name was Desmond Doss. Anybody remember Desmond Doss? They even made a movie about him. I think it was called Hacksaw Ridge. About a Seventh-day Adventist who joined the U.S. military during World War II, but refused to carry a weapon, and literally went through hell during basic training and the following training, and they kept trying to get him to pick up a weapon, and he refused. And they called him names, coward, sissy, all those, and ostracized him as he was going through all of his training. But once he got to the battlefield, oh, there he shone, didn't he? In one battle alone, they credit him in the Japanese, in the Asian theater, in one battle at Hacksaw Ridge, saving between 50 and 100 wounded people, including three Japanese soldiers that were accounted for before he was injured himself. And he did it single-handedly. He lived after the war, but these are also people whose stories we don't see. And I want us to remember Emily and Desmond this morning. Memorial Day for me is a day of prayer. I mean, isn't that what all this service has really been about? In the Daily Word, for example, it's comfort. And so this is part of prayer that we use, and I don't have it now up here with me, but there was a line in there that says that when we need comfort, oh, it's right behind me, look at that. If the sadness of loss diminishes my joy, I remember that the love we shared will bind us together always, for love cannot die. So the lesson this morning is on prayer. Now, I did this before. It's a little different than I did before. And it's a two-part lesson that I usually do one Sunday and then the following Sunday. You're getting part one. Part one is, what is prayer? And why do we pray? Part two is how we pray. Now, in Unity, we pray through affirmative prayer and meditation. I assume that most of us here know how to do that, so I want to focus on what is prayer and why do we pray? And that's part of where comfort comes in. I also want to give credit where credit is due. I based this lesson a little bit on the works of Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, who had a lot to say about prayer, but specifically on this book here called Adventures in Prayer by Sharon Connors, which when I was coming up in Unity, this was the book that I was taught how to pray and what prayer was all about. And I also used Wayne Dyer's Power of Intention, which makes up a little bit of what I'm about to share with you this morning. So with no further ado, let's get grounded in the moment. And we're going to start off with a quote from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Thank you. Chapter 11, verse 24, and it says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Prayer in Unity, historically, is what we're all about. At its heart, Unity is a prayer and healing ministry. That's our foundation. Our foundation is in prayer. So what is it? Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? And let's go back to, say, when we're 3, 4, 5 years old. How did we pray? In my family, there were two prayers that were said every day. Two. One at mealtime, right? And the second before you went to bed. They were very interesting. I was raised Roman Catholic. The prayer tended to be long. It was called Bless me, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. I had Protestants in my house, and they didn't want to talk that much. They wanted to get to the food. So they, kind of pushed it together into two sentences. And they were, "Come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest. Bless everything thou hast given us. Amen." Very simple prayer, right? But now, as a Unity person, whoo, it's Unity. Think about it. Come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest. It's calling the presence. It's calling the presence to be right here, right now with us, as we're about to have a meal together as a family. And like Charles Fillmore said, you don't have to pray formally to God. Be informal. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These are your intimates. So it was very informal. Bless everything thou hast given us. We remember everything that it took to put that food on the table. And we give thanks. Amen. So it is. If that isn't a Unity prayer, I don't know what is. Now, bedtime was a little iffy, right? Now I lay me down to sleep. Okay, statement of fact. I ask the Lord my soul to keep. Not much meaning there for a 4-year-old, but okay, it's part of the prayer. If I should die before I wake, it's like, wait a minute. I'm four. I pray the Lord my soul to take. It's like, whoa, this is a little bit too much. But then there was Tam's additions. God bless Mommy and Daddy and Kevin and Tammy. I talked to myself in third person, you know. And everyone I know, let the guardian angel watch over us at all times. And I hope that Moshi's leg gets better. Now, Moshi happened to be my maternal grandmother who lived with us all the time I was growing up. Apparently, back when I was about four in 1960-61, she had an injury to her leg. I noticed this, but I said this prayer with the add-ons for decades. My grandmother lived to be 88. I was about 35, 36 when she died. Obviously, my prayer was pretty powerful because she walked very well until about a month or so before she died. Prayer works. If you notice something about these prayers, however, they are the way we learn to pray. Most of the people I know at Unity do not do what are called beseeching prayers anymore. Oh, God, give me this, and God, do this for me, and if you do this, you know, if I die, you know, please take my soul. That's not the way I pray anymore. So I got to be older and an adolescent. Besides the fact that I've always felt my spirituality very deeply, I was starting to question, what is this prayer stuff, right? What is it? Why am I doing it? In fact, what is God? What does God have anything to do with? But I was still a very devout Roman Catholic who wanted to be a priest. I've known that since I was six. It's okay, girls need not apply, so I'm here, I'm at Unity, I'm in my element. All right, so I remember the day I left that church. I was 22, 23 years old, and I had had a party at my house the night before. One of my sorority sisters, and yes, I was in a social sorority in the 1970s. One of my sorority sisters got so drunk that she almost went into alcohol poisoning. Pretty dangerous thing. And so what did I do? I went to the priest at the Newman Center there on campus. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I told him what had happened to my sorority sister literally the night before. And the man looked at me and he said, did you pour the alcohol down her throat? And I said, no, sir, I did not. He said, then what have you done to feel guilty about? And that's when I understood. As we all here sitting understand now, it's not out there. It's in here. My prayer, my forgiveness, my relationship with God is an inside job. And that was my last confession, and it was my last day as a Catholic. After that time, I spent 30 years by myself studying. And as I reached adulthood and found Unity, I understood that prayer is a way of discovering God. Now, I yearn for God, whatever that is, but I know it's there. God exists within me, outside of me. I have a new perspective, and I had never heard anyone say this before until I started taking my Unity classes. Tam, you're not a human being having spiritual experiences on Sundays when you, you know, go to services or when you read a book. You are a spiritual being having the blip, if you will, of a human experience in this very, very short blip in infinity. We're spiritual beings having this very small experience as humans. Prayer is part of how we remember that we are spiritual beings. In that sense, prayer is a process. And this is where Sharon Connors comes in her book, Adventures in Prayer. Prayer is a process. Prayer is causative, she says, and creative. Causative is a little much, so let's break it down a bit. It is that which causes, it is that which wants us to be helpful, to help. It moves us forward. Prayer is what helps us to allow ourselves to grow, to change, to think. These are all active verbs. And prayer is creative. It is the catalyst that gets everything inside going. So prayer is process. Prayer is also connection. It is the connection with that presence, with that power, with all there is, God. Now we live, as I mentioned before, here in the temporal world. The world of, as Charles Fillmore said, sense consciousness. It is limiting. We are limited as human beings. And we live in this world of dichotomies, don't we? There's up, down, there's black, white, there's left, right, man, woman, fat, thin, you know, bald, not so bald. But no matter what, there's opposites that surround us. And these opposites tend to do what? They separate us into various groups. That is not the case in the world of spirit. In spirit, there is but oneness. The power, omniscience, not power. Power itself, not the power. It's not knowledge. It's knowledge itself. It's not a being. It's beingness itself. And there are no opposites. So prayer acts as that connection, that bridge between our two very different experiences. In prayer, we can experience the transcendent God. The God that when I'm up in Canada and I'm sitting on my deck and it's the middle of the night, if I, you know, don't worry about the critters too much, and I look and I can see the Milky Way and know that it doesn't end. Have you ever thought about that? Most people look at the sky at some point in life and say, it doesn't end. It's almost incomprehensible to us. And that's God transcendent. But there's also the God that is in our human experience, the immanent God, the intimate God within. And so we can go beyond the human experience, outside of our limited experience, but also through prayer connect with the God within. I tried to explain this to my daughter as she was growing up. She was about 9. And I told her that God was everywhere. Apparently, I pushed it too far. Because I said, you know, God is in me, God is in you, God is everywhere. And then after a few more examples, I said, God is in the couch, right? If it's in the wood, if it's in the materials, I said, God is in the couch, and that's where I lost her. I'm not kidding. To this day, when I was originally giving this talk, oh God, a year ago, something like that, I asked her if she wanted to come and hear me speak. She's now 33. And she said, no, no, I like quiet Sundays. And by the way, I already know God is in the couch. All these years later, and never, never does she miss the opportunity. The third way that I see prayer is an instrument to access our divine nature, to experience that oneness in everything. So, what is prayer? It is a process, it's a connection, and it's a tool, an instrument that we can benefit from. Why do we pray? Why we pray is as varied as the people sitting here. But I think I can, for myself, I can put them under three rather large headings. One, I pray when I am seeking something. We were talking this morning about comfort. I go to prayer when I am in need of being comforted because, to be honest with you, some of our losses, no one else can understand but us. Even well-intentioned friends and family cannot completely understand the pain of when and the kind of comfort that we need. That kind of comfort only comes when I am in connection with God. I go seeking guidance. When I'm getting ready to prepare, you know, this lesson for you, or when I'm having to deal with my adult child and the problem seems so big, to remind myself, okay, what do I need to do to be present for them? What is the right action when I'm seeking to take action? Is this the right and perfect, what is the right and perfect way, I should say, of responding in any situation? And to be honest with you, and science reflects this, and we all know that Charles Fillmore believed in the science of what we do and think and pray and meditate. The science says that when we pray, we get calm and it relieves stress. So we're seeking something. The second kind of large heading that I use when I pray is when I want to experience something. So prayer as experiential. When I want to feel the limitlessness, the expansiveness of God when I'm out there looking at the Milky Way on my deck in Canada. That's an experience of God. When I'm in meditation, and I'm doing a lot of it lately because that's part of my classwork, is I'm meditating a lot, and I am amazed that I lose track of time. So the timelessness that I experience, and when I pray, it goes beyond the physical, doesn't it? There's something about when I'm in meditation, I lose the sense of where I end, where my body ends, and the rest of me begins. And so it's an experience of that oneness that allows me to tap into God energy of life and love. So the experience, the experiential way of connecting, that's what I get through prayer. And finally, when I want to claim access to my powers. Now, Charles Fillmore said there's 12 of them. I'm starting to suspect after all my studies that there's probably more. But using the 12 powers, when I want to access those, prayer is a wonderful tool for me to access them. And I don't care if they're the contemplative powers, the powers of faith, the power of strength or wisdom, or if it's what I call the rational or intellectual powers of release and power and will and understanding and order. Those are things, those are powers of the Almighty that I can bring in and intellectually and rationally use to order my life, to understand when somebody is speaking with me, or to understand myself. And finally, the inspirational or creative powers, and that is zeal, and I love zeal, imagination, life, and love. So all together, whether we pray seeking something, whether we pray just for the experience of God, or whether we pray to access, what are we really doing? We are connecting with God so that in our lives here, we are able to emanate that power, that love, that life force. So to me, this is what prayer is, and this is why we pray. I would like us now to go into just a few minutes of quiet meditation. And I really don't care what you think about. Whatever you need today, wherever you want to go, let's just take a few minutes. So get into a comfortable position. Close your eyes if you wish. And let's take a few deep cleansing breaths. On the in, I connect with God. On the out, I am one with God. I connect with God. I am one with God. And as we focus on our breath and go that 18-inch journey from our heads to our heart, let's spend a few minutes simply in the presence of all that is. And listen, listen in the silence. Gently now, gently come back with the certain knowledge that whenever you want or need, it will be there, just as it has been these few minutes. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. Love you guys. Bye-bye.